Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
I'm Victor Okendo. The House is in recess as Republicans try to choose a new speaker. The infighting has raised the stakes ahead of another deadline for a government shutdown. ABC's Jay O'Brien has more.
If Kevin McCarthy's saga taught us anything, it's that if you have a handful of House Republicans who are against your candidacy as Speaker or against you as Speaker in the first place, that could spell doom for you politically. So in Jim Jordan's case, there are moderate Republicans who say they won't back him under any circumstances. In Steve Scalise's case, there are McCarthy allies who are against his bid. And so that's the dynamic as we go into next week.
It's sentencing day for the Brooklyn subway shooter who opened fire on a crowded subway car last year. 10 people were injured. Frank James pleaded guilty to terrorism charges earlier this year. Prosecutors are asking for life in prison. It's day two of the healthcare workers' strike. 75,000 Kaiser Permanente union members on the picket lines. This is ABC News. Mayor Eric Adams is in Mexico City, part of his four-day trip to South and Central America, hoping to discourage migrants from coming to New York City.
I say to those who are pursuing the American dream, it should not turn into a nightmare.
Adams says migrants should be aware of the realities when they arrive in the U.S. The COVID pandemic leading to a surge in STDs.
Federal health officials say cases of many sexually transmitted diseases ticked upward starting in 2020, when prevention and treatment services were disrupted by the pandemic. Donna Fox of the Toledo Health Department says,
syphilis does not go away unless it's treated.
Complicating the situation now is a nationwide shortage of bicillin, the drug used most often to treat the disease. Its maker, Pfizer, plans to ramp up production through the end of next year. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
Apple has a software update it says will solve iPhone 15s from overheating. The company insists the phones are safe to use. Victor Okendo, ABC News.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
For the Talk of Green Bay News, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's what you need to know. The search on the Fox River for a 21-year-old Green Bay man has been suspended by the Coast Guard. The search for Victor Torres Guadalupe started about 2 a.m. on Wednesday, but authorities decided they didn't have enough evidence showing he had entered the water. They are asking for the public's help in finding him. He is 5'10", about 155 pounds, has black hair and brown eyes. Anyone with helpful information should call the Green Bay Police Department. The man who created the G logo on Packer helmets has died. John Gordon designed the iconic G while he was an art student at St. Norbert College in the early 60s. He was asked to design a logo that resembled a football by a St. Norbert equipment manager. He passed away Saturday at the age of 83 after struggling with Alzheimer's. Tonight's Powerball jackpot is $1.2 billion. That's the third largest ever, and it'll go up slightly after I buy my ticket later. Good luck. Pete Schwabe, WGBW 97.9 News.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Howler House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear, and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
people won't give you the real talk on drugs. But it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
If I could be you,
and you could be me, for just 1 hour,
if you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind,
walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out, and for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Civic Media radio stations providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our outstanding producer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. It is Thursday, October 5th, 2023, 6 minutes now past the hour of 1 o'clock across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome in on a very busy news day. We're going to get all to it in just a minute. First of all, coming up on the second half of the show, we have Peter Rapine, managing editor of E-Bombs World, coming up at 2:30 on the lighter side of things, talking about some of the early days of internet. Take your calls as well on that. If you have some early stories of searching the internet, what did you use at the time? Going to want to be around at 2:30 to talk about that. But right now, Mr. Zommers, let's get to the breaking news of the day. I know Terry Bell was updating people at the news at noon across the Civic Media Radio Network. But if you have not heard, a very serious incident yesterday here in Madison at the state capitol. Great reporting by the Associated Press and Scott Bauer, great reporter there for the Associated Press. A man, and this is the story by the Associated Press, headline, man with a handgun seeking governor arrested in the Wisconsin capitol returns with an assault rifle. We've talked about this several times on this program. Not just that we need some form of reasonable gun control. And again, I'll remind listeners who might not be familiar, Mr. Zommers and myself, both hunters and outdoor people who own firearms for purposes of hunting. Got no problem with that. But no legitimate hunter needs an AR-15 or an AK-47. Mr. Zommers, would you agree with that?
I would. I think that there is a place for those kinds of guns for gun enthusiasts, people who are maybe they like the mechanical nature of things or they, but I still don't think anybody needs to own personally an operable assault weapon. I know assault weapon is a loose term. I just mean something that's like automatic and has high capacity magazines. And I think if you have something like that at a shooting range, where it is supervised and you can have the experience of like shooting a target or shooting a watermelon with it or whatever you're doing. Sure. But nobody needs to own that. No individual needs to own that.
Definitely agree with you, Mr. Zommers. So here's what happened. According to the Associated Press and Scott Bauer, we'll pick this up on the other side, take your phone calls as well. A man illegally brought a loaded handgun into the Wisconsin Capitol, demanding to see Governor Tony Evers, and returned last night with an assault rifle after posting bail, according to police this afternoon. The man, who was shirtless and had a holstered handgun, approached the governor's office on the first floor of the Capitol. And if you're not familiar, when I say first floor, in actuality, to most of us, we would call it the second floor. Because in the Capitol, the floor that you walk into off of the street is called ground floor. So it goes ground, first, second, third, fourth. So when it says it was on the first floor, it would actually be on the one level up on the Capitol. Came into the first floor of the Capitol around 2 p.m. yesterday. State Department of Administration spokesperson Titania Warrick said, the 43-year-old man said, quote, he wouldn't leave until he saw Governor Evers, unquote, so he could talk about, quote, domestic abuse toward men, unquote. Capitol Police said in a bulletin sent to lawmakers and their staff, Evers was not in the building at the time. A Capitol Police officer does sit at a desk outside of the suite of rooms that includes the governor's office, the conference room, and the offices of the attorney general. If you've not been to the state capitol before, would encourage you to do so. Of course, I worked in the building on and off for over 20 years. And one of the great and magical things about our state capitol is that it is open to the public. Anybody can walk in. There's not a metal detector to go into the capitol. It's free to just walk in. There's no admission. And really the only security you're going to find is on the first floor. When you go into, there's a hallway, and to the right is the governor's office. To the left is the attorney general's official office. There's not, most of the business is conducted in the Justice Department building across the street, but he does maintain his official office across from the governor. And then you go straight ahead and there's the beautiful ornate governor's conference room that you can see during a state capitol tour. And there is a small barricade with a armed police officer right there before you go into that. So there's really only one police officer between anybody and the governor and the attorney general. So according to the Associated Press, this man who entered the Capitol yesterday with a loaded handgun was taken into custody for openly carrying a firearm in the Capitol, which is against the law. Weapons can be brought into the Capitol if they are concealed and the person has a valid permit. The man was arrested and because he did not have a concealed carry permit. The man was booked into the Dane County Jail, but later he posted bail. He returned to the outside of the Capitol last night, shortly before 9 p.m., 3 hours after the building closed, with a loaded assault-style rifle and a collapsible police baton in his backpack. A spokesperson said he again demanded to see the governor and was taken into custody. Going to have all more details on what happened last night in terms of this man who came to the Capitol with a loaded assault weapon. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Call in. Want to talk about it. More on the other side. This is the Todd Lyle Show. And this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips that you plan in advance, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends for which you make a group chat 3 months before so that nobody or anything is missing? Or your daughter's first birthday party. You planned it with such dedication that instead of the first, it felt like our quinces. The same way you plan each detail for those moments. Start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Protecting your family is the best plan you can make. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Chance for scattered rain showers this afternoon. Otherwise, partly cloudy. Daytime highs approaching 72. Southwest winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Slight chance for scattered showers. Tonight, lows dip down to about 45. Mainly clear skies and quiet. Scattered rain showers again. Tomorrow, highs level off around 56. Cloudy skies. Dry with temps a bit below average. Saturday and Sunday. And highs in the low 50s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 72.
Where the fans own the team. This is the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network on this Thursday, October 5th, and it's now 15 minutes past the hour of 1 o'clock. Aaron Zommer is on the board. Glad to be along with you. Breaking news at this hour. Multiple news sources reporting this one from our very own Scott Bauer here in Madison, the Associated Press, a fine reporter. A man illegally brought a loaded handgun into the state capitol yesterday afternoon, demanding to see Tony Evers, and then returned last night after being arrested and posting bail on the same day, returned back to the Capitol with an assault rifle. And again, the original confrontation was around 2 o'clock when he brought the loaded handgun in, a 43-year-old man who has not been named as of yet, was arrested because he had a loaded gun and it was not concealed. According to Wisconsin law, you could have a concealed carry permit and have a concealed weapon, but you cannot have one out, like, on your person, and certainly cannot have one without a permit. So he was arrested and then got out on bail. Same afternoon, came back around 9 p.m. last night to the state capitol. If you're not familiar, the capitol closes to the public at about 6 p.m. They lock it down. Only people who work there that have a pass can get in. The man came back with a loaded assault weapon at around 9 p.m., also a collapsible police baton. They arrested him again. Governor Evers not in the building at the time. As we said before, the Capitol police officer sits out at that desk just in front of the governor's office. The man was booked into the Dane County Jail, but later posted bail, as we said, and returned around 9 p.m. The man said, quote, he did not own a vehicle, and it is likely he has access to a large amount of weapons and is comfortable using them, unquote, police said in a bulletin sent to Capitol workers. Let me read that again. This is from the guy who was arrested. He has says he has access to a large amount of weapons and is comfortable using them. Capitol Police named the suspect, but court records show that no charges have been filed by midday today. The Associated Press normally does not name suspects until they are charged and efforts are made to get comments from them, their lawyer, or their representatives. Madison Police reported this afternoon that the man was taken into protective custody and taken to the hospital. A spokesperson for the police department did not return an email seeking comment. Capitol Police, Governor Evers said earlier today, quote, Capitol Police took control of the situation, and so it is over. He originally declined comment, but then said, quote, I never ever talk about my security detail, what they do or what they're planning to do. But anytime something like this happens, obviously, they reevaluate. The incident is just the latest in a series of violent threats against public officials. Governor Evers, moments ago, also added this. Governor Evers, quote, when asked by reporters this afternoon a few moments ago, said, quote, yeah, it's always something that, you know, you don't want to see happen, but that's why we have good people in the police departments, in the Capitol Police, and the State Patrol. They're doing great work. He went on to say, I'm sure they're looking at when asked about whether or not they'd enhance security at the Capitol. Evers said, quote, I'm sure they're going to look at that as we speak, unquote, though he declined to discuss security matters in detail. What do you think of this latest incident? Yesterday at the state Capitol, someone with an armed and loaded handgun getting as far as the one person that sits at the security desk, sometimes there's two, in front of the governor's office, and then coming back after the building is locked up with a loaded assault weapon. And again, I don't want to blow this out of proportion. Clearly, the police had a good handle on it. The security systems worked. Again, the governor was not there. The Capitol was loaded when he came back the second, or the Capitol was closed when he came, this person came back. It appears this person clearly has mental health issues. But my question is, what the heck's going on with the district attorney's office here in Dane County? Let this guy out, and the judge, they'll let this guy out on bail. I mean, if a guy comes into the state capitol with a loaded handgun and is looking for the top executive of Wisconsin, how did the bail get so set so low that this guy was able to get out in a matter of hours and come back?
You know, Mandela Barnes wanted to eliminate cash bail, which, however you think about that, that right. would have made this situation impossible because he wouldn't have been able to pay bail because there wouldn't be any, so he would not be out.
Yeah, that's certainly a good point, Mr. Zomers. I'm anxious to know more about what transpired with the district attorney's office and this judge. Let this guy out who clearly, well, I shouldn't say clearly, apparently has some very serious mental health issues. What do you think about this? 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Let's go to the phones. Mark from the SAC, thanks for waiting, sir. What say you?
I've got to catching my breath here because it just, I wonder how many of our representatives and senators, assembly people and senators in our state house right now have concealed weapons, and some of them may have questionable mental health issues that because they think it's just fine to have a concealed weapon there in the Capitol. I mean, that things could go to hell in one hell of a hurry that somebody has some kind of issue, and then all of a sudden guns are drawn and shots are fired, and hopefully that's not going to happen. But for this guy to get out and come back, and all this guy's weapons should at least be confiscated, at least temporarily, and put under lock and key, because it just is just unacceptable for this something like this to happen. Because something could have happened so tragically in this situation right here. The fact that they allow weapons in, aside from law enforcement, to allow weapons in the Capitol at all is just still astonishing to me. It's astonishing to me that it's allowed in state buildings.
Yeah,
I mean, you can have a concealed weapon, and if you have the permit, it's fine and dandy for you to go into state buildings. I mean, because when I was a state employee, there was at the agency I worked at, I mean, there was periodic threats made against people at that agency.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess this is a little bit hyperbolic, but I think half of these Republicans probably think Liberty Valance was the hero in the movie Who Shot Liberty Valance.
Right.
I think the bully with the gun is the guy that's the hero. I mean, it's just shocking to me that and there's probably more calls for this, from the Republicans to say to loosen up restrictions on firearms.
I mean,
because of this instance, the exact opposite of what should be happening is that probably what they say, well, we should be able to openly carry weapons in the Capitol. It's probably the Republican response to what this is going to be. And perhaps I'm wrong. Perhaps I'm being unjust. But I mean considering the other crap that they're pulling these days, nothing would surprise me anymore.
Yeah.
Absolutely nothing would surprise me.
Mark, appreciate your perspective as always. Thanks for listening, my friend. Thanks for calling in. Have a good day. Mark and the SAC, appreciate those comments. If you'd like to call and weigh in, we welcome you. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. To Mark's point, if you're wondering how in the world are handguns acceptable in the Capitol, the Republican legislature. You have Republicans in the legislature. I will tell you for a fact. I know this for a fact. There are Republicans in the Wisconsin state legislature who carry firearms with concealed carry permits in the halls of the Capitol and in their offices. It's a fact. I know some of them.
I mean, I do think if anybody should be allowed to, it would be the people working there, because then it's could be construed as a self-defense thing, which is the whole point of that.
Sure.
Random guests but how do you enforce that?
But to Mark's point, some of these people, I mean, look, I'm not going to name names, but some of these people, the legislature, I mean, are they mentally stable to have a concealed carry permit? I'm not going to go into details because I don't want to endanger anyone's life in the state capitol, but I will tell you as a former longtime legislative staffer, There are some systems in place in the state capitol in each legislative office in order to quietly alert security. So I'm not going to go into more detail than that, but there are things in place in each office, legislative office, to alert Capitol Police if you feel endangered or want them to show up. But, you know, it doesn't stop crazy people. I shouldn't say that. People with mental health issues from coming in and doing something awful. And thank God for the Capitol Police. Thank God for the State Patrol. They did their job. They took this person into custody without question or without incident, not once, but twice. My question is for the District Attorney's Office of Dane County and also for the judge. I mean, if someone comes before you in your courtroom and they say this person illegally had a firearm without a permit, it was loaded, Your Honor, and they were going to see the governor. I mean, look, judges have quite a bit of purview here. And the fact that this individual wasn't flagged, the fact that this individual was given some sort of a bail so low that they were able to come up with it in a matter of minutes or hours and then be back out on the street with a loaded assault rifle coming after the governor of Wisconsin once again. Let's go to the phone lines, 844-967-2789. Jay in London, across the pond. Jay, thanks for listening. What say you from the UK?
Hello, sir. How are you?
Well, we're doing okay, but a little shaken after this news. What say you?
I know, sir. Why are they allowing people to carry guns in the United States, like concealed carry? Did the founding fathers say someone should have concealed carry?
I'm sure I didn't quite get that. Did the founding fathers say what?
If somebody should be carrying guns, like concealed carry, is that what the Constitution says?
Well,
carry and everything?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it goes back, of course, a lot of it is to the Second Amendment, which, you know, says that, you know, have the right to keep and bear arms. And that's been debated since God was a boy about what that really means and whether they're referring to militias or not. And look, I'm not someone who wants to abolish the Second Amendment. I believe
exactly.
That
it needs to be sensible.
Right. But there's no reason that people should have assault weapons. And I don't understand, allowing to Mr. Zahmer's point, I don't understand people besides law enforcement being able to have weapons at all in the state capitol.
Exactly. And somebody's going to get killed. Some lawmaker is going to get killed in the United States. I know I will not say hot because Nancy Pelosi's husband almost got killed. W.G. Ford almost get killed. New Mexico, few lawmakers almost get killed and their child also together. And the governor of Michigan almost get kidnapped. What's going on?
Well, we're going to come back and talk about this, Jay. I appreciate the segue because I want to come back and talk about this in the next segment. And we've talked about it on this show, right? That this narrative by the mega Republicans, in particular Donald Trump, this narrative of violence. In insinuating to go after lawmakers, to go after military leaders. I mean, they're not even saying it quietly anymore, you guys. They're saying that, well, you know, back in the day, we would have hung the guy. Back in the day, this would have been. These are dog whistles to the people who are following them. And what happened right here in Wisconsin, not anywhere else, here in Wisconsin. It almost happened. We'll come back and discuss it at 844-967-2789. Don't go anywhere. This is the Todd Elbow Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
From I-43 to I-41, this is the Talk of Green Bay. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Victor Okendo. A power struggle between House Republicans over who will become the next speaker after the ouster of Kevin McCarthy, with just over a month before another possible shutdown. ABC's Jay O'Brien has more.
We're hearing from moderates who say they don't want to back any speaker candidate until there is a clear path or one of the candidates says that they would get rid of what's called the motion to vacate, which is the rule that was used to oust McCarthy. Remember, McCarthy agreed to lower the threshold for a motion to vacate to one member.
The former campaign treasurer for GOP Representative George Santos is expected to plead guilty today in federal court. Santos's campaign spending and fundraising are part of a federal probe. The death toll rising in eastern Ukraine after Russian airstrikes targeting civilians. At least 50 are dead. The Nobel for Literature awarded to Norwegian writer Jan Fosse for his works in poetry, plays, and children's books. This is ABC News.
For the Talk of Green Bay News, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's what you need to know. Students and staff at UW Oshkosh held a walkout to protest layoffs. The university is struggling to make up an $18 million debt. In August, university officials announced they would cut around 200 jobs to help close the gap. Protesters say they are worried about the quality of education due to the cuts, saying they want more state funding for their school and are petitioning for cuts to administrative salaries as opposed to faculty and student worker salaries. Complaints about rats are on the rise in Green Bay. At last night's city council meeting, the public was encouraged to keep reporting rat sightings so city officials can continue to manage the problem. Green Bay has received 129 rat complaints so far this year. The average number of complaints has been about 100 over the last few years. Most of the complaints have come from the city's west side near Lambeau Field. Pete Schwabe for the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW 97.9 News.
Wisconsin is facing an unprecedented threat, a constitutional crisis that would overrule the votes of nearly 2 million Wisconsinites who voted in the state Supreme Court election this past April. It's a threat made by some extremist Republicans who are desperate to overturn a fair and democratic election so they can hold on to power. Instead of focusing on the issues we really care about, they are threatening to illegally impeach Justice Janet Protasiewicz without evidence before she's even ruled on a single case. Removing Justice Janet Protasiewicz from office would threaten our democracy and overrule the will of the people. But it's not too late to protect your vote and stand up for the rule of law. Tell your state legislators not to overturn the results of an election. Tell them to oppose the illegal impeachment of Justice Janet Protasiewicz. Contact your state legislators at 1-800-362-9472, then visit defendjustice.us to learn more about how you can help stop the illegal impeachment of Justice Janet. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together Incorporated.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed. Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Welcome back to the Tallaball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network across the state of Wisconsin and around the world on the Civic Media app. You can download it at your favorite app store on your Apple and Android device. It is Thursday, October 5th, now 1:33 here in Wisconsin. Talking about this breaking news from various news sources, quoting the Associated Press and Scott Bauer this afternoon, that we're learning details within the last hour and a half that there was an armed man with a handgun, armed and loaded, that came into the state capitol yesterday and got as far as the security detail at the desk outside the governor's office. And this individual did not have a concealed carry permit, and they were arrested. And hours later, somehow the district attorney and the judge set the bail so low that this individual was able to post bail within a matter of minutes to hours and was back on the street and back at the Capitol at 9 p.m. last night with a loaded assault weapon, rifle.
and was once again taken into custody. According to the Associated Press, has now been taken into protective custody in terms of their health, mental health, and is in a hospital. So far, no charges have been brought, according to reports. The governor crediting the Capitol Police and the State Patrol for doing their job and said so far at this time, no further security details are going to be changed or released. Of course, you understand that if something's going to change, they wouldn't want to release that anyway. If you'd like to call it away, I'd love to hear from you. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. That's 96-P-A-R-T-Y. Let's go to the text lines. Dana, listening in on WLCX in La Crosse. Dana from La Crosse says, I have to imagine that the level of security will now change, huh? Unquote. We'll see. As I said before, I spent many years working in the state capitol. It is one of the most beautiful buildings I've ever seen, period. It was always an honor to work there. And one of the great things about the state capitol is that there isn't a lot of security. That, yes, there's Capitol Police. They kind of roam the grounds. And there is a officer stationed at the governor's office and the attorney general's office. But there are no metal detectors. And the only time I can recall metal detectors is after 9/11. And I think they were there for about a year or so. And then maybe during Act 10, but I don't think so. And I remember because what happens is when you have metal detectors, when you have all these fourth grade kids come in for their yearly school trip to the Capitol, all of them have to go to the metal detector. You can't just say, well, you're a kid, you don't have to go through. No, everybody has to go through. And it slows things down, and it just feels so different. I also worked out at the U.S. Capitol, where there are metal detectors, not just in the Capitol, but also in the office buildings that house the members of Congress. It's a very, very different feeling. And one of the great things about our state capitol is that anybody can walk in. That may change now. I don't know. We shall see. Also, somebody off the text line, Andrew in Verona, listening on WMDX, says, I've always been surprised you could just wander the Capitol, dial 911 or 911 temporarily.
Or did 911 temporarily change security measures?
I got to get new glasses. Did 911 temporarily change security measures? So little security, no metal detectors. The worst thing I've ever done is, well, all right, give Robin Voss the bird, I guess, at the door. Yeah, I think I addressed that already. So, yes, after 9/11, there were temporary changes to the Capitol, and we did have those metal detectors. And it was just, I mean, I was for it, of course, at the time. But I was also for getting rid of it and going back to no security after a while because beautiful architecture, these beautiful marble statues that you could kind of walk up to the first floor. Again, when you enter on the ground level, it's called ground floor. You have to walk upstairs to go into the first floor. There's these beautiful entryways that were closed for so long. And one of the cool things is being able to walk in and see all that.
I think it's also great symbolically for the government being by the people and for the people.
Exactly.
And that somebody could just walk in and have their voice heard. Now, there are better ways to do it than just walking into the Capitol and starting to talk. But I think it is meaningful.
I agree with you 100%, Mr. Zomers. The fact that any citizen could walk in and walk into their legislator's door, not their personal office, but the staff door, and say, look, you represent me. This is what I feel. I want to drop off a letter. I want to voice my concern. Exactly right. It's one of the beautiful parts of Wisconsin open government. Also off the text line, WMDX, quote, I'm confused on your mentally ill definition. So being a super patriot, I'm better than you equals mentally ill. Let's keep the mentally ill people out of this conversation, unquote. Let me clarify what I said in the previous segment. I think I corrected myself. But the point is, this individual, I'm not a doctor, we don't know this, but based on the police reports, I mean, this guy has been taken into hospital protective custody. They wouldn't do that unless he either had a physical problem, and that doesn't appear to be the case, or a mental health issue. So my point being that this individual clearly has or apparently has a mental health issue. And in this state, we need stricter laws, in my opinion, that do a better job at red flag laws, screening the mentally ill so they can't get a gun. And about this comment about, so being super patriot? So you think it's being super patriot to have a big gun? I mean that's like a guy, you know, bragging about the size of his schlong. I mean, give me a break. Just because you have an AK-47 doesn't make you a better man or a better woman or a better patriot. Patriotism is not about firearms and guns. It's about your love of country and helping one another. And America was built not on a race, not on geography, not on religion, but the ideals of freedom and the aspiring to equality, the pursuit of happiness. Not about having how big of a gun you have. Good gosh. Steve from Milwaukee, WAUK on the text line, quote, wow, Todd, this extremist agenda has to stop. Pelosi got attacked and Whitmer almost got kidnapped. I wish these far-right outlets would change their ways, unquote. Great segue to what I want to talk about here next in this story. I just have to give me a second to pull it up once again. To Steve's point here, this is an ongoing problem, right? This is an ongoing thing where we have had this problem continually. It's only gotten worse in this country, by the way. And it's being fueled by this narrative on the mega right about violence. Back to this report by Scott Bauer of the Associated Press here in Wisconsin. Tony Evers, Governor Tony Evers, a Democrat, was on a hit list of a gunman suspected of fatally shooting a retired county judge at his Wisconsin home in 2022. Remember that? I mean, there's been so many, right, that people forget.
Yep. That's what I was going to say is right. I forgot about that, right? Because it's constant.
Because it's still, because we've gotten numb to it. We've gotten immune to it. In 2022, the governor of Wisconsin, the sitting governor, was on a hit list of someone who shot a judge. Back to the story. Others on that list included Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer and Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell. Whitmer was the target of a kidnapping plot in 2020. And what was it, Mr. Sommers? A month ago or so, 3 weeks ago, those yahoos got off.
Yeah, I think so.
They acquitted them in the trial, despite all the evidence.
Yeah, I don't remember the details on that.
Again, the story here, reminder that the public has free access to the Capitol daily from 8 a.m. until 6 p.m., and there are no metal detectors. Look, I was Republican for almost 30 years. I left the party in 2011 over voter suppression bills. I don't care whether you're a Republican or a Trump person, a MAGA person, whether you're a Democrat, whether you're a progressive, whether you're an independent. There is no room for violence, political violence in this country. Simply no room for it on either side of the aisle. And this is dangerous. And it has to be called out. This extremism, this is going beyond a difference of opinion. This is saying, if you don't like something, go physically assault them. Literally, go kill them. This is coming from Trump himself in tweets, in speeches, in the dog whistles. He is calling on fellow Americans to exact violence. These are things of autocracy. These are things of fascism. These are things of a banana republic. And this is the danger that lies ahead if Trump were to get another term, let alone the followers of the MAGA movement. And let me be clear, I am not talking about every Republican out there. I'm not talking about a gun ban. I'm not talking about getting rid of the Second Amendment. I am a firearm owner. I am a hunter. I'm talking about not calling for violence in this country on anybody. And we certainly can't have one of the two major political party heads calling for violence. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Jack and Merrimack. Jack, thanks for listening. What say you?
Well, first of all, the accused people that were acquitted in the trial on the attempted kidnapping of Governor Whitmer, I think there were three of them, but there was something over a dozen, if I recall correctly, who actually were convicted. So it wasn't everybody got off, and apparently these were people that had some knowledge of the possibility.
Thank you for the correction, Jack. Now that you say that, you're absolutely right. I appreciate the correction. Thank you.
And, secondly, I agree with you that, how should I say it, conventional Republicans, traditional Republicans, I think that's the word that I need to use, are absolutely not in favor of these kinds of actions. But the vast majority of the leadership of the party in this current time doesn't disavow any of this stuff. They are doing what that one person that texted in said, which is they're calling people who engage in this sort of thing patriots. And, of course, the reason is they're patriotic because they're going to take vengeance for us because we happen to lose some elections.
Right.
This is craziness in American society. I mean, I'm a pretty old guy, and I remember the demonstrations against Vietnam. Participated in some of those. I remember the civil rights demonstrations. There was never any kind of advocation of this level of violence in any of those situations.
That's a great point,
this is
Jack.
Not normal America. This.
Go ahead, Jack. You said it wasn't normal America? Yeah, go ahead.
This is approaching fascism.
Yeah, I totally agree, and I think you make a great point, Jack, that this has to do with the heads of the organizations, the political organizations like MAGA. And again, where is Governor Scott Walker? He is a former governor. I'll be interested to see if he tweets out and he renounces this action. Where is Robin Voss renouncing this action? You can still be for guns, but you have to be able to renounce this kind of action. It's a great point, Dick. Really appreciate the call. Thank you so much. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Want to have a call in here coming up against a break, but when we come back, as Matt Flynn likes to say, we see you on the lines. Dick from Madison is next on the other side. This kind of action has to end, folks. This calling for violence in America, because someone is going to be mortally wounded. Back after this on the Todd Hubbell Show. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Test your home for radon. Radon causes lung cancer, and half the homes in Green Bay test high. Request a free tester at newradon.com. newradon.com. Get a free test kit now.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Haller House is home to the two oldest sanction lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear, and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Haller House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Here's your updated forecast. Chance for scattered rain showers this afternoon. Otherwise, partly cloudy. Daytime highs approaching 72. Southwest winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Slight chance for scattered showers. Tonight, lows dip down to about 45. Mainly clear skies and quiet. Scattered rain showers again. Tomorrow, highs level off around 56. Cloudy skies. Dry with temps a bit below average. Saturday and Sunday. And highs in the low 50s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 73.
From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Pursuing truth wherever that may lead. Welcome back to the Todd Hubbell Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 10 minutes before the hour of 2 o'clock, Thursday, October 5th. Breaking news that we're following this afternoon, according to the Associated Press's Scott Bauer and many other news sources as well, being revealed at this hour that yesterday at the state capitol in the afternoon around 2 o'clock, an armed man got into the capitol. Well, anybody can get into the capitol because there's no security at the main door, but came into the Capitol, found his way up to the governor's office on the first floor, which is actually to most people will be considered the second floor, but onto the first floor, got as far as the armed police officer outside the governor's office. And when was asked and questioned, the individual did not have a concealed carry permit and so was arrested. Said he was there to see the governor, wanted to talk to the governor about violence against men, and then was taken into custody. And minutes, if not hours, after being taken into custody, the judge and the Dane County DA set the bail so low that the guy got off scot-free, was back out on the street, and at 9 o'clock last night, came back to the Capitol after it was closed to the public with a loaded assault rifle. Looking for the governor again, was taken back into custody, and at this hour, according to reports, is in a hospital for, we assume, mental illness protection. Suffering from some kind of mental illness and being taken in the hospital. Still, according to the reports, not charged at this hour. What do you think about this? 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Let's go to Dick in Madison. Dick, thanks for holding. What say you?
Well, Todd, I only disagree with you on one thing. It's no longer a dog whistle with Trump. It's more of a blowhorn.
Correct.
I agree. City-county building, they seem to get along just fine doing this, but it was a very unfortunate reason they went to metal detectors. My sister-in-law used to work when she was working for city engineering, and she was in the building when it went in a lockdown when the coroner, Clyde Chamberlain, was shot and killed.
Yep.
And they've had, you know, that ever since. And it doesn't seem to have any problem with how business is conducted. I, at the very least, they could have metal detectors at the doors.
I mean, we may have to go to that. I guess, you know, having worked there when, you know, you have all these fourth graders come in, these big school groups of hundreds of people. I mean, it takes a big staff to try to get those kids and those people through in a timely fashion. And I don't know how to describe it, but it feels completely different when you have to go through that versus walking in the door. It's like Mr. Zahmer said, it's this feeling that this represents openness in government, but in order to keep people alive, we may have to go to metal detectors.
Yeah, it's a very unfortunate situation, but I'm afraid that's the way it almost has to go. I mean,
yeah.
Fortunately, he was taken into custody and
right.
Not let go a third or a second time. I mean,
yeah.
I'm just in awe of that, too. That he was let go on such a low bail.
I want to know who this judge is and who the DA was. I mean, you walk into a courtroom and say, Your Honor, this person had a loaded handgun looking for the governor. And you would think that the judge would put that person behind bars for a little while to figure out what the heck was going on.
You would think.
It's wacky to me. Dick, always appreciate your call. Thanks for listening. Dick in Madison. Let's go also here in Madison at WMDX. Tom, listening to Madison. Tom, what say you?
Hi, Todd.
I ascribe a lot of this to a mob mentality. First of all, to Donald Trump. Second of all, to Vicky McKenna. And third, to Robin Voss. Their rhetoric is that all Democrats are evil incarnate and Satan, and we must, in our self-righteous whatever, go beat them up and carry guns. And these people are just nuts, man.
Yeah, I mean, and to your point, they mix in this religious rhetoric with it as well. Almost like it's a mission from God, as sick as that is. I mean, that's what their insinuation is. Sometimes not even an insinuation.
Yeah, I'll listen off here. Thanks.
Appreciate it. Oh, Tom, great point. Appreciate it, Tom and Madison. I mean, again, it's this continual narrative that Democrats and the Democratic Party are bad, and we have to take up arms and violence against them. Let's go out to Eureka, California. Jake and Eureka, what say you?
So there's a couple things I'm not aware of about this story, or have they even reported it yet? First of all, what was the race of this shirtless gentleman? I'm assuming
I have no idea.
I'm assuming if he'd have been African American, I'm sure the police probably would have reacted differently, as we all know from January 6th. Imagine if that crowd had not been a bunch of white rednecks, how they would have reacted.
I want to be fair. I worked at the Capitol for several years. I have to say that I never witnessed the Capitol Police being out of line, you know, to anyone in that regard. But fair point. Go ahead.
And the whole thing is, why aren't we aware yet of this person's identity? And how come there aren't, you know, pending charges
right. For
threatening the governor? I mean, does the person have to come out straight, come out and say it, and say, yes, I'm going to kill the governor before we get a clue? Clearly, that's what he was up to. You don't show up with a loaded firearm demanding to see the governor twice in the same day, second time after he's already been arrested and released, and we're just supposed to assume, well, he's just having a mental issue. You know damn well, if he were any race other than white, we wouldn't be using mental health as an excuse. If he were, for instance, Arab, everybody knows how he'd be treated right now. He'd be in Guantanamo Bay.
Thanks, Jake. Appreciate the call. Appreciate listening out there in California. Let's go to Stoughton here in Dane County. CJ in Stoughton. CJ, what say you?
Thanks for taking my call, Todd. You're not going to regulate crazy. And I'm going to refer you to a video of now Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson. Just Google him speaking at a city council meeting.
Lieutenant Governor of where?
What do you expect criminals to turn in their guns?
I'm asking where this, because our Lieutenant Governor is Sarah Rodriguez.
Well, you know, I'd like to know what party this judge came from. What party is he?
Judges are technically nonpartisan.
Pardon?
Judges are technically nonpartisan. Well, I mean, it's the truth. Technically.
Oh, okay. Well, you're gonna deflect, but I bet you he campaigned and ran on you know which side of the aisle he came from.
I don't know who this judge is. And I called it out earlier. I said, I think the judge has dropped the ball here, and the DA, whoever prosecuted this guy the first time in court, obviously, in my opinion, they dropped the ball.
We've been speaking about, the Republicans have been pointing out the lenient liberal DAs from New York all the way across the country that are that show how they let criminals in and out like a revolving door. So this is going to finally address it, just like finally President Biden's going to maybe start building the wall that he said he wouldn't.
Well, he actually is. We can talk about it. Appreciate it. Actually, CJ is right on that. That President Biden has continued the building of the wall down there. But good point. As I said, I think the judge and the DA have something to talk about here. They have to defend themselves. Why they let this guy back on the street with an assault weapon and going back after the governor of Wisconsin? Back after this with hour number two. Don't go anywhere. The Tunnel Ball Show on Civic Media.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Howler House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people. Swear and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Howler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic